moving on Pasus over here, because there's a lot to say about Pasus, and like I said, like the whole next week is shot already. So let's so maybe we'll make it like a Chazar week, we'll do Bechina Muxa right afterwards. There's some sort of Bechina Muxa. No? Yeah, yay! Yeah, Muktza. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about Basa. So in Simon Shin Tes, probably the best way to attack it is not directly, meaning not Shulchan Aruch, because it's probably better to develop the Yesodos before we go through the Shulchan Aruch, and therefore it doesn't necessarily play out in Shulchan Aruch the way you would expect it as you go through the Sugya. So the... So we'll go through just basic Gemara Rishonim, and then we'll go through the Se'ifim in the order that fit conceptually rather than the order that they appear in Shulchan Aruch. So the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Mem Beis Amin Beis, Mishnah in Shabbos rather, Kuf Mem Beis Amin Beis, tells us, Ha'evin shal piachavis mata al tzido vihino feles. You have a stone on top of a barrel, you could tilt it on its side so that the stone come off, and that way you can then access the items in the barrel. Ha'isa beina chavios, but let's say the barrel was not a standalone barrel, it was among other barrels. Magbia umat al tzido vihino feles. It's got a stone on top of it, so you can't just tilt it over, so you got to pick it up. You're allowed to pick up the whole barrel, then tilt the barrel, the stone will fall off, and then you'll be able to use whatever is in the barrel. So if you can't tilt the barrel, because the rock is going to break the other barrels in its vicinity, so then you can do more than just tilting it. You can lift it and then tilt it. So the Gemara quotes Rav, that Amar Avunam Amar Rav, Lo Shanu El B'Shocheach, that this is only true, that you're going to be allowed to pick up the barrel upon which the stone is resting if you forgot the stone on top of the barrel. Av B'Maniach Nasa Basel Davar Asur. And there it is. If you place the stone purposely on the barrel becomes a basas l'davar aser, and that is the concept that we're going to be discussing for a little bit now. So the Mishnah refers only to a case where you forgot the rock on top of the barrel, and that will prevent it from becoming a basas l'davar aser. But if you purposely put the rock on the barrel, you have now made the barrel into a basas, and therefore if the rock is muktza, the barrel is muktza, because the barrel is the basas for the rock. And that would be true even if a guy were to come along, a nachri were to come along, and he were to take the rock off of the barrel at some point on Shabbos, and now it's just a regular kli with wine in it, it's still going to be muktzah, because it was the basis, ben ha-shmashos, migo, this katsayil ben ha-shmashos, katsayil kuleyoma. That's what, that's pretty clearly the halacha, that's what the Rama writes in Sifdal, in Sim Shintas, Sifdal. Shmir Shabbos, kilchsa, points out that if the muktzah item in the case of the Gemara is a rock, what if the muktzah item wasn't a rock? What if it was a kli shemlach l'iser instead of something that was muktzah machmas gufa? Would we still apply the din of basas? So Shmir Shabbos seems to assume that yes, but only to the extent that the basas would then also become a kli shemlach l'iser, meaning the basas is not going to be stronger, a stronger form of muktzah than the muktzah that it is a basas for. So the kli shemlach l'iser has the ability to make what's under it into a basas, but only to the extent that the kli shemlach l'iser itself is muktzah. So it's better understand the qualifications of what criteria you need, or what conditions need to be met in order to make something a basis. We have to see another Gemara. Gemara in Shabbos Daf Mem Tes, which is quoted in Shulchan Aruch in Reish Nun Tes Aleph, where the Gemara tells us that something underneath muktzah only becomes a basis if it services the muktzah. Right? If you look in Reish Nun Tes Aleph, so mochin shatamim behem derech mikre asa l'talton el minara kisoy vehin noflo. So going from ktsas and megula shein zetiltol el mitzido. So the if something is there if the muktzah services the object underneath it as opposed to the object underneath it servicing the muktzah, so then the object doesn't become a basa. So the case that we're talking about is you have, let's say, mochi, you have wool, you have gizei tzemer that you're going to use as something to do hatmana with. You want to insulate a pot in order to keep the pot warm, so you take gizei tzemer and you do hatmana. So the pot does not become a basis for the gizei tzemer, even though the Kizei Tzemer are sitting on top of the pot, and the Kizei Tzemer are definitely Muktzah. It's not only about location, that it happens to be that there are Kizei Tzemer on top of the pot, and therefore the pot becomes a basis. No, it doesn't only work that way because of location. It has to be that the basis is servicing the Muktzah. By Gizei Tzemer around the pot, the Muktzah is servicing the basis. It goes the other way around. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes in Simon Reish Tes Sif Katan Tes. Mishnah Berurah writes over there, it's a Delona right at the Shulchan Aruch over there says, I don't care that there are Gizei Tzemer on top of the Kli. They don't become a buses. And Mishmur writes, because the Kisui is not a Tashmish for the Tzemer. The Tzemer is being Mishamish the Kedera in order to keep it warm. So that is a very big yisod in terms of the dinim of buses. That in order for something to be a buses, it has to be there to support the Muktzah and not the other way around. And that's probably why you're allowed to pull a carrot out of the ground on Shabbos. If you put the carrot in the ground in order to preserve it, that it shouldn't rot and that it should stay cool, because you don't say that the carrot becomes a buses to the dirt that's on top of it, because the carrot is not servicing the dirt. The dirt is servicing the carrot. The sand that's around the carrot is servicing the carrot. So the Ritva says, well, wait a second, that's a great klal. The problem is, go to the core sugya of buses. The core sugya of buses is what we started with, Kuf Mem Beis, the Mishnah Kuf Mem Beis. What do you have? You have an Evan al pi hachavis. So we said a klal just now that in order for something to be a buses, it needs to be there to support the muktzah, and it's there, its primary function is as a support for the muktzah. A rock on top of a barrel? You have a barrel of wine, a valuable wine. Its purpose is there to support a rock that's on top of it? Doesn't seem that way. It seems that that the barrel should not be a buses based on the very basic criteria of what makes up a buses. So the Ritva says, no, the rock was put on the barrel to protect the rock. Maybe in a chinami. The case in the Mishnah is that the barrel is there to protect. You have this valuable rock. You don't want to lose it. I don't know why it's valuable. Or you have this rock that you want to protect. You're afraid something's going to happen to it. So you put it up on a barrel where you know that it's going to be protected, that and no animals are going to come and schlep it away or something. So the barrel, in fact, services the rock. And the barrel is therefore a buses. In Pir Halacha, he discusses why it is that the barrel doesn't become a basis to davra asur ule davra mutter. Right, Pir Halacha in Dibra Maskel to Im Hinicham discusses that issue. Right, he says da di isa brishonim chenis kimu harbe achronim. Says you have to say that the case is that the pi hachavis, the tip of the top of the barrel, is not really servicing the wine that's in the barrel. It's only servicing the rock, and therefore that's the part of the barrel that becomes a basis. Otherwise, in a chinami, the shulei ha-chavis, the bottom of the barrel, which actually supports the wine, would be a basis to davar asur ule davar mutter. Bottom line is that we have klalim of basis that do not jump out from the sugya, you know, from the primary Mishnah. I mean, we have klalim of basis seems to go completely against, right? The two biggest klalim of basis are probably two of the biggest klalim of basis is that a basis davar asur ule davar mutter is fine, it's not a problem. And that the buses has to service the muktzah. Now, in both of those klalim seem to really go against the Mishnah's case of the buses of the stone on top of the barrel, or the Gemara's case, I should say, of buses. The Mishnah was talking about where it wasn't a buses, but the Gemara's case where maniach, and therefore it became a buses, where the stone was a buses for the barrel, and everyone's got to fetch around to figure out and to say that no, really, it's talking about that it's only a buses over us, or really, it's talking about that it is servicing the rock, even though it doesn't fit very, very neatly. In fact, Mishnah Berurah in Siman Shin Yud Sif Katan Lamed Aleph says if you have money inside a teva shebashulchan, a teva shebashulchan probably means like a desk drawer, right? There's a table, and inside there's a teva. Well, not in this one, but inside there's a teva. There's a drawer that opens up. So Mishnah Berurah says that money inside the Teva Shabbos Shulchan, and the drawer can't be removed, so it's bottled to the Shulchan. If it could be removed, it would be an independent kli, so the table becomes a basis for the money. So typically, the way a basis works is that a basis is under the mukta item, but lavdafka, meaning the basis could even be on top of the mukta item as long as it meets all the criteria, as long as it's servicing the mukta, it would still be a basis. Does the question though becomes, how do we understand how this works? Well, it's not a muksa item, so why does it become muksa? Just because it's supporting a muksa item? Where does that idea come from? Or what is the mechanism through which a basis becomes muksa? So most work with the assumption, the reason why a non-muksa item becomes a muksa when a muksa item is put on it is because the non-muksa item is tafel to the muksa item. But it only becomes tafel if it's servicing the muksa item. But if the muksa item is servicing it, then it's not going to be a basis because it's not going to be tafel to the muksa item. This is what emerges from Rashi and Shabbos Mem Zayin Amud Aleph and the Mishnah Berurah and Reish Ayin Tes at the end of Sif Katan Yud. He says that a leichter, a candelabra, is always considered a basis because it's tafel to the flame, meaning the whole purpose of having a leichter is to be able to light the flame on it. It could be not about value, not about monetary value. A flame has no monetary value, but that's the purpose. That's what the whole kli is for. It's meant to support a muktza item. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
Then you should still be able to pick up the whole barrel because the barrel itself is
right. Basis. It's difficult. The whole thing is difficult to fit. It's difficult to understand. Yeah, that's what I was pointing out. It's very difficult to understand how the exact case that the Gemara gives of the, you know, what's supposed to be the paradigmatic example of buses doesn't really seem to fit any of the clothing. So it seems to me that, you know, I don't know. Yeah. Okay. So there is a
also,
yeah.
The rock is super valuable. Why would you want to get it off the ground, put it on the ground, and like let it be available to the public, to animals or whatever? You said before that one of the shots.
No, because you're trying to access what's in the barrel.
But it's such a valuable rock. You wouldn't want to put it in a place that.
I don't know. The Mishnah was about a case where it wasn't the buses. The Gemara says, but you should know that if it was a case of maniach, then it would be a buses, right? So Mishnah was about a case where I don't know. Yeah, I hear. There is a chakira that a number of the achronim have. Each one like expresses it in their own nusach. So you have to like look, see if they're all really saying the same chakira. But it sounds like they have a similar chakira. I'm going to go with the way Rav Asher Weiss expresses it in his Minchas Asher Masechah Shabbos. In Minchas Asher and Shabbos in Siman Nun Beis, he writes as follows. He writes, you have to look at this halacha. Im yisodo v'shorsho b'masha abasas tafel el hanisa alav ubata legabei lios mukza kamoso kilu dover echad heim. So he used a few different expressions to say the same idea. Do we assume that the way basis works is that the basis becomes one with the mukza? It becomes like part of the mukza, like a trophy that's sitting on a pedestal, so the pedestal is just, it's part of the trophy, it's part of what gives it its character. Oshema have yisod muktza the basis mishum haktsas hadas the other maktza daito me abasis agav haktsas daito mikufa muktza va'afshu yachal lenairas muktza me alav mikol makom kivin shein darach me'adam lenair chafetza mimakom melakar kuchadome kov chazal sheminiach b'miskavin muktza agavi davar have abasis muktza. Right, the other side is, he says, it's a dim sadas, that it's not normal to like be shaking things off of other items. So if you have a muksa item sitting on top of your barrel or on top of anything, probably going into Shabbos, you were thinking that the item on the bottom is not going to be usable for me, that I'm not going to be able to have any access to it because it's got muksa sitting on it. I can have access to it if I just shake it off. Yeah, but who does that? That's not a way that people normally handle items. So it's a din that it's a haktsas hadas, but one that Chazal instituted an assumption of haktsas hadas. Even though it could be that you were not actually maksadaito, but Chazal instituted they streamlined this takana of haktsas hadas. Because in most cases, most of the time, people would have haktsas hadas. So what is the mechanism of buses? So the way Rav Asher White says the Chakira, again, not everyone says the Chakira the same way, but the way he says the Chakira is that, is it that the basis becomes part of the Muktzah, or is it an tafel to, batel to the Muktzah, or is it a din of Haktzah Sadat? So he points out that Rashi Amem Dalet Amud Aleph is beferish, that it's based on the fact that the basis becomes batel to the Muktzah. Because Rashi writes, the kli nase basis le'evan, utfeilolo, ubatel toras kli diday. Then it becomes a basis to the evan, tafel to the evan, and no longer a kli. Meaning now the kli is also an evan. And he says the same thing by in there, that it's a basis l'shalheves, that the kli that holds the flame is a basis to the flame. Sha kli nasa tafel l'shalheves, ba'odabo, the kli becomes tafel to the flame. And then Rav Asher Weiss points out that it seems that this is a machlokas rishonim. Because Tosfos and Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph asks why it is that when you have gizei tzemer, you know, when we talk about hatmana, so you have gizei tzemer around the pot, so Tosfos asks, why doesn't the pot become a basis of davar aser on account of the gizei tzemer? So we already discussed this, and we said, well, isn't it obvious? It's because the gizei tzemer are servicing the pot. The pot's not servicing the gizei tzemer. But Tosfos asked the question. And Tosfos first says, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that since you don't plan on leaving it there the whole Shabbos, it doesn't become a basis. And that's Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, that we're going to see soon, that Rabbeinu Tam holds, whenever you don't plan on leaving it there for the entire Shabbos, it doesn't become a basis. A basis is only if you put something there that you plan on leaving there the entire Shabbos. However, the Rashba and the Ran, in the end of Parakira, say differently. They say that the Kedera, they say what we said before, that the Kedera is not Meshamesh, the Gizei Tzemer, Adrabba, the Gizei Tzemer are Meshamesh the Kedera, and therefore the Kedera does not become a basis. Now, why two different answers? What does Rabbeinu Tam not like about the Rashba and the Ran's answer? What does Rashba and the Ran not like about Rabbeinu Tam's answer? So says Rav Asher Weiss, it's all machlokas about what the Iker Din basis is. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's because of Haktzas Hadas. And since you plan on removing it on Shabbos, you plan on taking it off somehow on Shabbos, so then obviously you're not Maksadaito from the Kedeva, because you plan on taking it on Shabbos. So once you're not Maksadaito, it doesn't become a basis, even while the Gizei Tzemer are still present. However, the other Rishonim, the Rashba and the Ran, would say that the whole Yisod Din of Basis is because the Basis becomes Tafel to that which is on top of it, and Batel, the Torah, the Shem Kli is Batel from it; it becomes Muktza itself, and therefore the Mechadish that only when the Basis is Meshamish that which it carries can it become Tafel. It's not going to be called Tafel if it's not Meshamish. If it's the Iker, it's not the Tafel. It's only a Tafel if it's the Tafel. So it's only when the muktzah is it's only when the basis is meshamish the muktzah that you could say that the basis is tafel to the muktzah. If the muktzah is meshamish the basis, then you're not going to be able to say that it's tafel. He then points out. So Rav Asher Weiss says clear in Rashi that it's a din in tafel and a bitl shem kli, and it becomes part of, right? It's part of the muktzah. But then he suggests that it's this machlokas, Rabbeinu Tam on the one hand, and Rashba and the Ran on the other hand, whether that is the actual explanation of how basis works. That it could be that Rabbeinu Tam understands that it works midin haktzas hadas. And then he points out that there's a prima gadim in Shin Ches in Nahakdama, in Mishpatel Zahav, that there's a din of basis davar aser even when a heter is l'malo min iser. Even, meaning normally, like we said before, we spoke about the case of the drawer, right? Where the desk is going to become a basis on account of the fact that you have mukta items in a drawer that's inside of the desk. Well, is that really true? Do you have a din of basis when the basis is on top and it's not what we would call a base? It's not something that's on the bottom. So he quotes from a Tshuvas Evan HaShoham that if you put a devar heter on something so that it shouldn't tip over or something like that, so the heter becomes a basis of davar aser, even though the heter was placed on top and not on the bottom. And that's what the Prima Gadim writes in Mishpat Zav the Sivkot Miyadalid, when the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Tez Zayin says that it's a mutter lishmot es habegin me'al gabe akona amukta, and the Bach says that the beged is not a basis to the kana because it's a love, and the kana is not munach ala beged. And the Prima Gadim says, what are you talking about? You can have a din of basis even if an item is on top of, even if the non-muksa item is on top, it could still be a din of a basis. So what the Prima Gadim introduced us to is this concept that a basis doesn't have to be on the bottom. The basis could even be on the top. So says Rav Asher Weiss, where does Prima Gadam get that idea from? It must be that the yisod of the Prima Gadam only works, no, if you assume which side of the Chakira? That a basis is tafel. If you can assume that side of the Chakira, that it's haktsas hadas because it's inaccessible, what do you mean? If the non-mux item is what's on top, then adrab, it's extremely accessible. You could take it without even touching the mux item, without moving the mux item. But if you assume that it's a din becoming tafel too, you assume it's a din becoming tafel to the muksa item, so yeah, as long as it's being mishamesh the muksa, then it becomes tafel to the muksa item, and that would be a very, very reasonable explanation of that prima gadim. Then Rav Asher Weiss says, you know, this makes a lot of sense in lumdas. He says, well, let's take a step back. You know, sometimes Rav Asher Weiss likes to do this. So let's take a step back and just let's try to be pasha Jews. If you were to go to any Jew on the street and you were to say, buses, what does that mean? So I'll say, well, that sounds like the word base. Right? So it's a base or something else, and that's in fact what the word buses means. So if you have a muksa item and you're afraid, let's say I have this recorder and I'm afraid that it's going to get ruined, I don't, you know, it's so valuable to me, I've had it, you know, since 2009, so I come on Shabbos and I want to cover it up, so I take my jacket and I cover over, so my jacket is a base, it's a base for the recorder. Would anyone ever say such a thing? Meaning, Prima Gadam says, yeah, I'm using it to protect the, to service the muksa item. So says that Rav Asher Weiss, ach koli ledivri chidashem, diminolam lechadish din basis neged pashtus mashmaos kol musag zeh. Divadai mashmi pashtus divri agmar v'rishon v'kol makom, di basis kipshuto, havi b'mashah heteru basis le'isur harobet olov milamayla. He says the word buses throughout Shas always means the thing on the bottom, and the thing on the top is not the buses. It's true, the Rishonim say, the Rashba, the Ran, that only when the Heter is Meshamish the Yisr, only when it's there servicing the Yisr, you come up during the day and say, Elikashu Mesham Shomilamata. That's only when it's Meshamish it from underneath, and the Yisr is on top. Look, Shaheter Rokhev Ali Yisr. He says, okay, you may not like my approach over here of just saying, come on, just ask anyone, touch the word buses, and they'll tell you right off the bat, buses means the thing on the bottom. Right? He says, okay, that you may not find that to be a compelling raya, right? So you need an actual raya. Sometimes you need to bring rayas for things. That's what you know, that's the way learning works. Just yesterday we had a mezuzah shayla. Someone sent me a mezuzah shayla where you had like a front door of a house, except on the sides there was like the, you know, it was solid, and then there was a door frame around like the side solid area. You have that like that a lot, you know, where the actual door is here. But if someone were to ask where's the door frame, they wouldn't look at this. They would look at like what's on the outside. So where do you put the mezuzah? Do you put the mezuzah on the door frame over here? But do you put the mezuzah there? So I always thought you put the mezuzah on the functional door frame. Right, for example, you have a sliding door, a sliding glass door. So most sliding glass doors, one side cannot move. Not that you just never happen to move it. It cannot move. It's stationary, it's built in. Only the other side moves, right? So if the door slides from right to left, and there's a door frame all around the entire glass door, where does the mezuzah go? Right, where does the mezuzah go? Do you put the mezuzah on the door frame, or do you put the mezuzah on the solid piece of glass door, meaning on the side of at the halfway point, right? Where? So I always thought you put it on the solid glass door, meaning at that halfway point. And so someone asked me the shayla yesterday. So I put it on. I have a chat with my brother and Rabbi Warren Zinneman, a friend of ours who we talk all of halachic issues with. So Rabbi Zinneman said that he thought you would put it on the door frame, and the actual, what looks like the door frame, meaning not the functional door, the door frame. So my brother and I thought not that way. So then Rabbi Zinneman always does the research. He found every Likud Sefer that was ever written on Hilchos Mezuzah and sent us, that every single one of them says what we said. That every single one of them, so he was molded at all the Likud's for him. So my brother, being my brother, you don't know my brother, but you got a little sense of me. So my brother, being my brother, said, you know what I learned from all these Likud's for him? What I usually learn from them? Nothing. My brother's a meat and potatoes person. Like, if it's not in Gemara Rishonim, he's not interested. You know, it's like, so I told him after, I said, you know, that it's not nice. You know, that Likud Svarim are very valuable. They're very important. We were once sitting with Rav Asher Weiss, this chevra that's going on this trip next week. We usually go to Eretz Yisrael. So we were with Rav Asher Weiss, and Rabbi Isaac Rice asked Rav Asher Weiss, I told you guys this, I think, what was the last sefer you bought with your own money? So it was a little bit of a chutzpah question, but it was a great question because it got Rav Asher Weiss to talk about Svarim and how he uses Svarim. So he described that he uses Likud Svarim a lot. He said when he writes his tshuvas, he said some guy in the mirror spent 2 years thinking about mezuzah and nothing but mezuzah, so he probably knows a lot more marmakamos on mezuzah than I know. He said I wouldn't trust him on a hachra, you know, a hachra is hadas nuchas mezuzah, because he sees the whole world as one big mezuzah, so I wouldn't necessarily trust his hachra or something, but you know, he has he's definitely going to find Mar Makamas that I don't have. So my brother's point was none of the Svarim had any riots that we didn't know of, meaning there were no riots. It's just that all the Svarim said, yeah, because that's what a doorpost is. The doorpost is based on functionality. It's not based on, which is what we would have said anyway. So Rav Asher Weiss says, back to us, Rav Asher Weiss says, I get it. You're not going to like my just throwing a Svara out there that Basis always means the bottom thing, the base of. So he says, I'll bring you a riot. Says Yesh l'chora l'huchiach zos mi'amuvur l'kaman kufn gimel b'mishna v'sham kufn dalel and beis. Dim Yesh kelim she'enam nitalim al gabe achamor. Let's say you have mukta items on top of a donkey. Matir sachavalin, you could untie the rope, the strings that are holding the kelim onto the back of the donkey. Va'kelim noflim, and then the kelim will fall down. So what do you see? You can't handle the kelim themselves because they're mukta. But what can you handle? What can you move? The chavalim. Apparently, you're allowed to move the ropes. Hare, sheina chavalim akosher mesamukta basus l'davar aser dim kenechi tatal miyatirin. How would you be allowed to undo it if they were a basus? Vatars hachavalim l'charevi tiltul gomor. And this is when you're untying something; it's absolutely a tiltul. Chavalim mishamesh mesamukta, and it certainly would qualify as a basus as far as being mishamesh the mukta. Ukemakolus kvisa mishamshus sabeged alach hamukta. V'dochak otzum lomer derak b'yesh gam kelim mutarim k'shurim b'chavalim mutar l'atirin d'zeh neged ha'mashem mishasham. And don't tell me, oh, there must be mutar kelim tied on to these chavalim that make them a basudav mutar. Tzarechin gadol b'zeh l'charol primu gadol v'achorim sholch b'kvosav. So he says, so elamai, what's pshat? Why is it not a basis? Because it's not a basis. Because if you were to ask anybody, is that a basis? They would say, no, it's not a basis. A basis means the foundational thing that's holding the other items. The chavalim that happened to tie around the donkey to hold the things on the animal's back, or tie above the package to hold it to hold it all together, and then you undo those chavalim, even though they're protecting the muktzah, but they're not a basis for the muktzah. So that's what Rav Asher Weiss thinks that against the prima kadim that we had said before. He thought that like the pashas of the Shulchan Aruch, which is not like the prima kadim. Now. If you look at different achronim, like I said before, you'll find different permutations of how to say this chakira. There's a sefer called Pri Moshe. Familiar with the Pri Moshe?
Looking into it this morning,
there's
like nothing on Google
about that. About the Pri Moshe?
Yeah.
Yeah. So someone's told me about him. I have like eight volumes at home of Pri Moshe. It's basically chakiras on all different sugis and shtaros. He has a volume on shtaros, volume on chazakos, and lamdish topics mostly not halacha l'maisa topics. So he has one volume on Shabbos or Muktzah. So the style of the sefer is an interesting style. It's every piece starts with a chakira, and then he gives you 15 nafkaminas to that chakira. Okay, of the 15, 12 of them aren't really nafkaminas, but 3 of them are. But it's like a nice way to formulate the sugya. So he has a different way of expressing the chakira. He the first tzad that it becomes tafel to the muktzah, or he says maybe we view it as a klishem lachtol the iser, because its function is to support that which is aser. So it's like a klishem lachtol the iser, because it's that's what it's. Not exactly the way Rav Asher Weiss said it, but again, you know, everyone has their own way of saying this chakira. But Pashtus is, everyone has the same way of saying the first side of the chakira. The Rashi says that's correct, right? Meaning that a taka is a tafel, that it actually is, it becomes part of the mukta. Mitakaras chazal, it's like a tafel to the mukta. So another, yeah?
The other side of the chakira is that it's just a klisha
mafla. So then, meaning, not that it's halachically a klisha mafla, it's because then it should be mutter the tafel from Saragufa Mukomo. But that it's like it's a takaris chazal that works through a similar mechanism of klisha makhlisim. That since it's designated for the muksa item, it's which sounds a lot like tafel, meaning it's hard to really distinguish. Now another important limitation to the parameters of a basis is expressed by the Gemara Misachs Beitz on Daf Chafal from Beis. The Gemara says that an object can become a basis if the muksa item placed on it has some sort of significance. Because if it's working midin tafel, you can only say that the non-muktzah thing becomes tafel to the muktzah if the muktzah is a davar chashuv, if the muktzah has some level of chashivus. So Tosos in Beitz over there explains that if you have pieces of soggy bread, which are muktzah, that are left over in a wine glass, the wine glass does not become muktzah. Why? Because it used to be they would dip their bread in wine a lot. That was so, you'd end up at the end of the meal with a lot of soggy bread in the bottom of your wine glass. So why is the wine glass not a basis to the soggy bread? Because soggy bread is bottled to the glass. So if you have something that's not a davar chashuv at all, that's muktzah, then it wouldn't be able to create a basis. So if you have, let's say, a muktzah item hanging on your door, so according to many poskim, the door does not become a basis because the door, you can't say that the door has now, that its primary functionality is now that it supports the bus, that it's become tafel to the buses. No, the door is there to be used as a door, primarily. It happens to also have a basis on it, right? Someone told me a maisa that his wife was cleaning for Pesach, it was a week before Pesach, and I remember who told me this man. So his wife was cleaning for Pesach, and he decided he was going to host Chabura, let's say Chabura of Limud, or just Stam, host a Kiddush that Shabbos day. And he said, don't worry about it, you don't have to make anything, come here, I'm going to buy everything, and he bought everything. She said, yeah, but I cleaned all the other rooms, and your friends roam around the house, and they, so there was a room that she had cleaned for Pesach, she didn't want anyone to go into. So it was a learned crew, I guess, and she took a bag of money and she hung it on the doorknob, and then she closed the door. Off limits. Now the door is a basis l'davar aser, right? So now they're not allowed to move the door, right? That's how you married in London, right? So the shaila is that true though? Does that really hold true? So one could argue, some of the poskim argue, that doesn't make a basis. A basis is only when something is not meaning it's not independently a basis only when the basis becomes tafel, but it doesn't really become tafel. That was the case. Remember, I think I told you that we used to have, when I was in yeshiva, it was before everyone had cell phones and way before texting was a thing. So what they used to have in every dorm room door, there was like a little whiteboard, and that they would that magnets would attach the whiteboard to the dorm room door, and there was a little marker, and you could just say, stop by your room, stole your food, see you later, or something like, leave a note for your friend. So I think at the time Rav Shechter thought that the doors all become buses based on that. So that's a chiddush la'halacha, because he's assuming that either buses doesn't work midin tafel, or that the door becomes a tafel, even though it has its primary function is still to use as a door. Yeah.
I don't see how this comes out from Tosos. Wasn't Tosos talking about the davar muktzah not being kosher? This is something totally different. This is the buses is used for another purpose.
Right. So this more emerges from the lundus of buses being a tafel. So can you really say that it becomes a tafel and batel too and part of, when really it has a totally independent function?
Like every case of buses, it has a different... The barrel's purpose is for the rock. The barrel's holding wine. That's like the classic case of buses.
So again, the barrel case, even though it is the paradigmatic example, it fits none of the klalim.
Every case of buses, the thing that...
No, not every case of buses. Meaning a drawer is meant to hold things in it. So if you decided to use a drawer to hold muksa items in it, it's a basis for the muksa items. But you have something that has complete, that has value that's completely independent of that which it's.
No one gives this answer to the pots and the pot. Clearly, they say, why isn't the pot a basis for the Giz 8-7? So they give all these other answers. No one gives an answer that the pot is another function. The pot's function isn't to allow.
The pot can't become tafel to the gizit, but that is the same answer. Meaning, the Rashba the Rana is saying it's because the gizit semra mishamish the pot, so it's even stronger.
It's
meaning,
the
you don't need to come on to that. Meaning, the whole idea is it's that's developing that yisod, that it needs to be a tafel,
it's
not a nature.
More expansive than like no one's,
meaning that is. In a chinami. That's probably where Rav Shechter thought that it is a basis. But if I'm not mistaken, there are poskim that say like this. If you look in Mishnah Brura, one second. The Mishnah Brura. Yeah, if you look at the Shabur and Reish Ayin Zayin Sivkut and Zayin, so it talks about where you have a ner on the door, and you're opening and closing the door in Shabbos, and the issue of Shemi Yechabe that it's going right, to be Mechabe the ner. So the Mishabur writes, V'imu poschal v'na'olo b'nachas binyan shelo yeh psikreshe, if you manage to open and close the door in a way that it's not going to be psikreshe, it's going to be Mechabe the ner, mutter, v'ein isr b'tiltol adeles mishum haner hamukta hakavua ba. Shouldn't the door become mukta on account of the ner that's in the door? Lefisha delas lo nasis basis lo ner, lefisha hi chashuva shemeshameshes lo bayis, ubetela etzlo v'lo la ner. Meaning the door is batel to the bayis because that's its real function. It's not batel to the ner, which is like a very secondary type of function. Yeah.
Is that saying that the door is another purpose? That the door is already butted to a house? So
right, I hear. I mean, he's saying stronger. He's saying that, and which
doors,
but in the case of the of the dorm room thing, you have the same. I mean, it's mamish the same case. It's a door with a mukta item on it, so it's already butted legabe the house. Okay, so maybe just another function alone wouldn't work unless it's butted to something. Yeah.
Yes, when I asked this question in the chat, like. A month or two ago, Moshe Blank responded. He said, "Look at Tosos and Shabbos Kof Chaf Amud Beis, and it says the Gamla the bosses of the also the Bais Choshev Uvatalag Adol Bais in your house of room."
That's what this is paraphrasing, right?
So how would Rav Shechter?
I don't know. We should ask. Maybe I'm remembering incorrectly from those years. So we should ask him. Seem to remember that was the big, I don't even think I asked him at the time, but that was the big hack in yeshiva that he was saying that you can't open and close your dorm room doors. I don't know, or maybe he, it could be he just raised it as a possibility in the shir as an example to give, and you know, like the time that he said ties are chukas hagayim, and everyone's like, oh no, Rosh Hashanah is also a weird tie, but he wears a tie every day. So okay, so maybe it's kedai to ask him. Yes, that's what the Mishpura says. If you have, let's say you open up a drawer in your kitchen or something, and there are like a couple of pennies in the drawer. So something that's mamish, like people don't even use pennies. They don't even, like something that's mamish has no value to it whatsoever. It could be that it's not going to make the drawer a basis, even if it's not also holding a davar motor, because it could be, again, that's saying different, because it's saying that it's, even though it's not batel to something else. Okay. Now, yeah.
Would this mean, like, based on this Tosfos with the Sagi bread, when we're discussing Muktamad Maskufo, you have like the shells of nuts and things like that. So buses shouldn't be shy through cases at all because no one cares about like the shells and the pistachio.
Because it's garbage anyway, it's just like the
side. It's so small and that's so insignificant, like you should be able to carry.
So it shouldn't be a violation of Vatel Klimei Echana when you have it on the Kli or something.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll talk about that. That's a good point. Yeah.
Would there be a difference if it's like, let's say, attached to the door versus just on it.
Why?
Because being in terms of Iker and Tafel or being Batal, it's more, I mean, the Dallas is Batal to the Bias because it's attached to the Bias. So now you can't say that it's going to be Batal to the, let's say, whatever is hanging on the doorknob. But maybe if the board is attached to the door, so now that
Dallas becomes Batal to the board. Seems like the opposite, no? Yeah, I don't know. Pashas is from the Mishnah Berurah again. Whatever the board is, the ner is, you know, like Luchara, it's the same case. Now the primary, I mean, one of the big discussions in the sugya of Basel Davar Asr is the timing of it, meaning not timing of when it happened, but what was the plan when you placed the Muktzah item on the buses. So if you deliberately put a muksa item with some significance, right, it's got to have some chashivas on the non-muksa item, and the non-muksa services the muksa item, so the non-muksa becomes a basis and remains muksa even if the muksa item is removed, right? That we learned. So it's just because machlokes we've shown him. How do you define deliberately placing a muksa item on a non-muksa? It can't be shocheach, then it doesn't become a basis. How do we define purposely placing a non-muksa item on a muksa item on a non-muksa item that makes it a basis? So the machlokas is based on different ways to resolve a stira between the Gemara and Shabbos, Dafna and Aleph, Dafna and Tes. Beis Yosef goes through what exactly the kasha is. But Rashi's shita is that if you put the muksa item on top of the non-muksa item and the intent is to keep it there during Bein HaShemashos alone, then the non-muksa becomes a basis for the duration of Shabbos. Rabbeinu Tam and the Balatruma say, no, your intent had to be when you put that muksa item there, that it's going to stay there the whole Shabbos. But if you plan on having a non-Jew remove the muksa item from on top of the non-muksa item at some point during Shabbos, then the non-muksa item is not a basis and can be moved once the muksa item is removed. I noticed that a lot of simchas I go to now on Shabbosos, so it used to be a simcha on Shabbos, so in the middle of the table they have flowers or something, or they'll have something like that. Now candles are very, very popular to have as like centerpieces on the table when you go to a simcha. So that creates a whole muktzah question, right? Meaning, because whatever's on the table when Shabbos starts, it could be that the table's not set, but the candles are all set up. Remember when my wife and I went to a simcha and we had to do adlakas, she had to light neros. And I'm not a big fan of like the table on the side with the neros, you know, with all the neros on the table. It's a bracha levatala. So we always ask the Bali Simcha for Rishus to light neros on the table. So she asked the Bali Simcha for Rishus to light neros on the table. And they said, okay, no problem. Now we came, and there were 1,000 neros on the table, meaning it was like, you didn't need Rishus. The whole thing was one big ner. She could have just blown out 10 of the candles, lit for everyone. There were 1,000 neros on the table. So you have neros on the table, so the whole table, l'chora, is at least at risk of becoming a basis, l'davar ha'asir. However, on the other hand, the candles aren't meant to stay there the entire Shabbos. They're going to clear out that room, the goyim are going to clear out that room, and they're going to use it for shachris the next morning, and then they're going to set up the kiddush again, and then would the tables become a basis? So this is machlokes Rashi and Ben Tam. Rashi says that the plan has to be that it only is meant to stay there for Ben Hashmashel. So yeah, everything is going to become a basis to the neros. Whereas Rabbeinu Tam is going to say, no, the plan has to be that it was there for the entire Shabbos. But if you plan on having a non-Jew take the candles off and take the leichter off of the table, so during Shabbos, then the non-muks item is not a basis. The table's not a basis, and it could be moved since the muks item is taken off of it. This also, you know, is a question of what makes something a tafel. Does it only become a tafel if you plan on leaving it there for the whole Shabbos, because that's showing how serious you are about this being a tafel to the other item, that you're really making it being mevatel its entire identity to the other item, or no, even a tafel at the beginning of Shabbos. So Shulchan Aruch and Shin Tasif Dalid, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, based on the Mishnah and Shabbos, that if you forget a rock on top of a barrel, the case of the Mishnah had, that the barrel doesn't become a basis and you can tilt the rock off. Now, if tilting the rock is not an option, because you're worried that it's going to break the other rocks, so the Shulchan Aruch says, good, so then you could lift the whole barrel and tilt the rock off. However, Shulchan Aruch says what it says in the Gemara, that if you deliberately put the rock there before Shabbos, with the intention for it to remain on top of the barrel, what does Shulchan Aruch say? Shachach, where is it? He says v'imi nichmalei midaito, and here it is al das sheyisharu sham B'knisas HaShabbos, that you planned on it staying there, B'knisas HaShabbos, Asu L'Hatos L'Na'ir. Then you're not allowed to tilt it anymore, then it becomes a basis. So that's Shitas Rashi. But then he says, V'yesh Omrim, Da'filu, Hinichim Shamal Da'ashi Yisharu Sham, B'knisas HaShabbos, K'dei She'yitleim V'Shabbos, Mutu L'Hatos L'Na'ar V'Shabbos, L'Asu Elba, Hinichim Al Da'ashi Yisharu Sham, Kol HaShabbos. Right, then he quotes a Yesh Omrim, that's Rabbeinu Tam. So Shulchan Aruch quotes these two days. Meshubur and Sivkatan Chaf Aleph tells us, Sivkatan Chaf Aleph, Sir Ludlo Nasa Basis Klal, Kivin Shachash, the Sad Me'elav and Mutza Achar Kach. He's quoting Yesh Omrim, that the Yesh Omrim would hold just the being there, the Knesset Shabbat is not enough, because it's you're going to move it there, off of there as right after Ben Shemashos. Ubimakum Pseida Yesh Lismo Chaldei Azov. You could be somech on the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam and Balad Trumos, even dafka b'makom pseida. V'da da'afilu de'azom mistavre dafka k'shachash b'adil l'salik achar kach amuktzah b'shabbos. Odov shedarko b'kach l'salik amuktzah achar kach. Av l'mchash b'stavre shiyumunach lov amuktzah b'shabbos l'kuli alma nas b'asavto l'chash b'adil shiyumunach lov kol shabbos. Says even Rabbeinu Tam will say that if you put something stam, the assumption is you plan on leaving it there for the entirety of Shabbos. So even for Rabbeinu Tam, it's only going to not become a basis when it's very clear that your intention is not to leave it for the entire Shabbos. So candles on the table, it's very clear that the intention is not to leave it. The candles can't even last the entire Shabbos. So it's very clear that they're not going to be there the entire Shabbos. So there was Rav Yehuda Goldberg told us the following case, the following scenario that happened in a hotel in Eretz Yisrael. Someone wanted permission to light Chanukah candles on Friday afternoon on a chair in the hotel lobby. I guess it was like a tall stool or something, and he was going to put foil on it, so it was some sort of chair in the hotel lobby. And the hotel gave him permission, because it's Eretz Yisrael, so they're a little more loose, easygoing. So later that night, after my son, who's in Reshit now, told me that there was a big hack this week that a bunch of Reshit guys were in a hotel for Shabbos. Always a recipe for success. And he said that, that there were two rooms. And one of the rooms remembered to tell them that they need a late checkout because they're staying for the whole Shabbos. And the other room did not remember to tell them that. So the hotel started kicking them out at 1 o'clock Shabbos afternoon. So their phones were plugged in, and they said, okay, you can kick us out, but bring our stuff to our friend's room. So they brought their own suitcases, but they said, you got to bring our cell phones, we can't unplug our cell phones. So the hotel said, we're not touching your cell phones. No. So they didn't know what to do. So they said, we're not leaving without our cell phones, we're going to stay here. So they said, we're calling the cops. So I'm like, there's pieces missing from this story. Hotels are generally not so mean. Right? They must have done something to earn that type of treatment. But or there wasn't just a mutz issue. It was unplugging it from the wall issue as well. If it was a mutz issue, it would be one. Okay, but anyway, so the hotel was easygoing, and they let the person light the candles on the chair that night. And then after later that night, after the candles went out, the non-Jewish worker cleared up the chairs and mixed them all together. And in the morning, they needed to use those chairs. The guests wanted to be able to move the chairs to use them, to set them up for davening or whatever. So now you have a situation where one of these chairs is a basis of davar aser and is mukta. And the rest of the chairs are not mukta. So you have 1,000 chairs, one of them is mukta, and it's a big tarovetz. And you don't know which is which. So what do you say? Can't say bittel, it's not batel b'rov, because it's davar sheyesh lamatirin, and davar sheyesh lamatirin is ain't a batel. So it's like a classic davar sheyesh lamatirin.
Right?
Oh, yeah, the tzlach. So the tzlach says it's not davar sheyesh lamatirin when it comes to ishtamshus. That davar sheyesh lamatirin is only something that's a one-time use. But davar shel ishtamshus, something that you can be able to use over and over again, you don't have the principle of davar sheyesh lamatirin. Why? Because the whole svar of davar sheyesh lamatirin, Rashi writes in Beit, says Achi yisham shenu b'isri, yisham shenu b'hetir. Achi yochlen b'isri, yochlen b'hetir. Why would you eat it when it's asr, or when it might be asr? Just wait till it becomes mutter. But by something that has an infinite number of uses, that svar doesn't carry any weight, because you say, I will use it when it's mutter, and I also want to use it when it's asr, because I could keep on using it over and over and over again. So you have that slach that maybe bittel would apply. Alternatively, What you also have over here is you have the Rabbeinu Tam Sefer Chumos B'Shas Al-Chak, right? That the Mishabur writes that B'Shas Al-Chak you could be Someich on the Rabbeinu Tam Sefer Chumos. It's something that wasn't meant to be there for the entirety of Shabbos, and clearly a candle is not meant to be there for the entirety of Shabbos, is not going to make a buses. So then the Ramah adds two more. Yeah.
Just trying to understand why it's such a big deal with the candles at the Simchas. Like, worst case scenario, so the table becomes a buses. So therefore, what? Like,
if you want to move the tables the next day. People are moving tables all around, basically.
Even usually it's the workers.
You're yeah, but you're helping you set up shalosh shuvos, you know, a lot of times people from the shulba. Yeah. The tablecloths, everything.
Right? You can't put stuff on.
We'll get to tablecloths, but that's a buses.
You'd be able to put stuff on a table at the buses.
You can put stuff on.
If something's a buses, you could use it for.
Yeah, it just becomes mukzah. So you're not allowed to, right? You're allowed to put things on top of a mukzah item. You're just not allowed to.
Also, that case was assuming a Jew made the buses. If a goy made the buses happen,
so we'll have to talk about that also. What if the Jew asks you to make the buses, right?
They didn't tell you how to set up the table.
What?
They didn't tell you how to set up the table.
What do you mean? There's a party planner there that is telling everybody exactly what to do. That's the way party planners are like. Became a thing at some point in the last 10 years. Okay. Someone called my wife last night and said, when I have shalosh shuvos in my house, when we make a bar mitzvah, like, do you need a party planner for that also? So I was like, I don't know what people use party planners for everything, but probably not, right? Not yet. Soon you'll need for a Sunday barbecue, you'll need a party planner to make sure that. If anyone's a party planner, I'm not, you know, making fun, right? It's a good parnasa, whatever. Just buy kosher food. That we have a problem with hashkacha, because party planners, a lot of times, one of the things they're good at is they're finding the best food at different places. So sometimes they'll buy from places that are not certified, meaning like a Hamish woman makes the best babka. You know? So like they know about that woman in Borough Park that's making the best babka, you know, that sells it out of her house. So that we had a case where one of these party planners was setting up a vard or something, and they got this these babkas from one of these Haimisha places, and the shul required a mashgiach. So the mashgiach was asking about it, and he said, no, it's a Haimisha woman, it's fine. So the mashgiach, I don't know what he was thinking. If he was tipped off or whatever. He called up the woman who makes the babkas, and he said, or you mafreshchala? He wanted to know if she was mafreshchala from the dove. So she said, she was an honest, firm woman. So she said, no, it's not challah, it's babka. Right? So that's a problem. It's often not meant, you know, people aren't purposely, you know, doing something wrong. Most of the kashrus violations we find in Hashgacha are not because of purposeful violations. Most of the time, it's someone made a mistake, someone didn't know, someone was, Zamaratzos or whatever. Anyway, so two more details over here. So the Ramah adds that when we say that something becomes a bus, it's either because a muksa item was intentionally put there for the duration of Ben Hashmash, like Rashi says, or for the whole Shabbos, or Ben Tam says, it stays as a bus even if it was taken off at some point during Shabbos, right? That's what we said before, even if a Nachri removes it on Shabbos. And the second point that Ramah adds is that an object can only become a bus if the muksa item was placed on the non-muksa item with the permission or approval of the owner of the non-muksa item. So that we're going to have to get into a little more detail. Meaning, take that case of the woman who hung the money on the doorknob in order to make the door into a buses, which again was against the Mishabura. Mishabura would say it doesn't work. Sorry, it's not a buses anyway. But it's the husband's door also, right? I mean, does she have the right to make the husband's item into buses, right? I want to put my cell phone away before Shabbos, so I put it on top of my wife's pillow, right? So because it's well cushioned and safe over there and it's good. So do I have the right to make her pillow into buses, right? So that's a shayla we'll have to discuss in more detail. But that's what the Ramah quotes over there. Okay, so Be'ez Hashem tomorrow we'll get into some of these topics.
Back to save.